If I asked you to describe Perth using an emotion, would you say happy? Look, it's a weird thing to ask, isn't it? But don't blame me. It's my next guest's fault. He's the author of an award-winning book, Happy City, Transforming Our Lives Through Urban Design. And I'm wondering how he'd describe us, given he's worked with cities all around the world to create happier environments for those who live in them. His name is Charles Montgomery. He's an award-winning Canadian writer and urbanist. Hello.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Well, welcome to Perth. I understand your first visit here. So are we a happy city?
Everybody wants to know how happy their city is. Look, what I can say is it's a beautiful city. I find people to be kind and friendly. And I am kind of shocked by just how abundant your roads are here. I have never been in a city with such wide and extensive roads and with such a dependency on cars. It's kind of amazing to see.
So that came as a shock to you?
It did. Look, I come from Canada, and in North America, you know, I thought we are the epicenter of car dependency in the world. But it seems that Perth, you really take the cake for sprawl.
I'm interested, given that this is your first visit to Perth, did you have any preconceived ideas about us as a city?
When I thought of Perth, I thought of surf. So actually, when I arrived, the first thing I did on Saturday morning was to go surfing, and then, of course, got hit in the face with a board. My other notion is that it was a warm place and that it's probably a fairly wealthy city. And so all those things seem to be true.
So apart from your observation around our dependency on cars, what other ideas have you got about Perth so far?
Look, my team and I did some analysis on Perth before I arrived. So as I drove around the city, the odd thing was is I felt I was returning to certain neighborhoods. I had toured through Google Streets. And anyway, the analysis we did revealed that, you know, Perth has about the same population as a city like Copenhagen, but you take up more than three times the room of Copenhagen. Now, that's fine. It's nice to have a big house and a big yard and lots of space, but what we find is growing that way brings all kinds of costs as well. We know that people who live in car-dependent communities on the very edge of big cities, they're reporting worse health and low happiness, and I would say very low degrees of social trust. People express lower degrees of trust in their neighbors and lower social time, and their relationships do worse because they spend so much time just trying to get around. So there's a risk you're facing.
So that is because of the time they spend in cars getting to and from work, is it?
Yes. Well, you say to and from work. Cities are typically planned for men so that men can go to and from work, and not planned for women who go to and from work and 10 other destinations in the course of their days. So, yeah.
Okay. That's really interesting. I've never heard that before. And I think there will be people listening who would be surprised to think that they may be choosing to live, particularly, say, in our northern suburbs. Mm. We have an amazing coastline. And so north of Perth, you know, another kind of hour north almost, are now these pop-up suburbs that people are living in because it's obviously much cheaper to live on the beach there, and they feel as though they can have the lifestyle that they want at a price that they can afford. But you're saying that they may actually end up being more unhappy.
Look, everybody gets to make their own decisions. And I've been in Scarborough and seen just how beautiful the coastline is. What we've learned in our research, though, is that there's a direct correlation between low happiness and long commutes. In other words, the longer your car commute is, the less happy people report being. So this isn't my opinion. This is what people are self-reporting. So isn't that strange that people are making decisions they think will make them happy because of the higher paying job or a nicer house, but they're actually reporting in the long run that these longer commutes that they're paying with are making them less happy.
So what if you're not in your car then? What if your commute is done on public transport?
Oh boy. Well, I thought I came here to talk about happiness. And in fact, public transport, people are reporting the highest feelings of fear, rage, and sadness of all commuters. And that's generally because in cities like Perth, you just haven't put enough money into public transport. So if you wanted to build a happier city, you would do everything you can to make the public transport experience more dependable, more frequent, more reliable, so that other people can get out of their cars so that you can keep driving.
You're listening to Charles Montgomery. He's an award-winning Canadian writer and urbanist. His book is Happy City, Transforming Our Lives Through Urban Design. And today on Drive on ABC Radio Perth, he's sharing some of the research that he has discovered all around the world about what makes a happy city. So it's interesting that you were talking about urban sprawl. And today, our state government has announced a deal to boost CBD density. And they're suggesting that Perth has the lowest population density of any capital city except Darwin and Hobart, which are obviously much smaller cities than ours. Density is a hot topic in Perth at the moment. It divides opinion. And I'm interested in what you know about density and what that does in terms of the happiness of a city. You mentioned people with a long commute. But what if you are living in a dense area? What are the pros and cons of that?
I had a chance to tour a bit of the city, and there's a neighborhood, was it called Beaufort?
Beaufort Street.
Beaufort Street. Lovely street, underperforming. Businesses are disappearing. And so you have to ask yourselves, we know that walkable neighborhoods where you can walk to meet your daily needs and go to the shops and go to a bar or a restaurant or a cafe, these are places that nurture happiness. However, streets like Beaufort Street have been not doing well lately. So why haven't they been doing well? Well, in our analysis in other cities, we see that streets start to die a little bit when there aren't enough people living nearby. And so, you know, the typical household size in Australia has shrunk to only 2.55 people, I believe. So houses that used to have 5, 6, 7 people in them are now halved in household size. So we suggest that you could do something to repopulate these neighborhoods, not necessarily building towers, but by allowing gentle density. Triplexes, walk-ups, quads, etc.
Sorry, can you tell me a little bit more about that? Gentle density is not a term I've heard before.
Oh, sorry, I'm using urbanista terms. So by gentle density, I'm talking about bringing in more people to repopulate the neighborhood, but at a human scale. So, for example, our research shows that people living in residential towers, tall towers, express lower levels of trust in their neighbors and lower levels of neighborliness, and actually worse health than people who live in closer to the ground. However, many Australians don't have a choice. You either get the tower or you live in a house out on the edge. Our research shows that the missing middle, this gentle density in between of, a duplex or a triplex, or even living 3 or 4 stories off the ground, that's the sweet spot where we can reintroduce people to neighborhoods to keep them strong and vibrant, but still keeping that human scale.
You mentioned the word trust there. How important is trust in a happy city?
There's nothing more important. If you look at the relationship between happiness and cities, for example, Canada's big rich cities are the least happy, and its smaller cities are happier. And the correlation is actually not city size. The correlation is trust in neighbors. So cities where people express a high degree of belonging and trust in neighbors are happier cities. So we need to nurture spaces, places, and systems that give us a chance to have positive encounters with our neighbors.
You conduct experiments in cities all around the world. And there was one that I really liked the sound of, the Home of the Games initiative ahead of the Vancouver Olympics. Tell us what that involved.
Right. So we held the Winter Olympics in Vancouver back in 2010. And I was doing all this research and writing about social trust. And all my neighbors were trying to rent out their homes for thousands of dollars to, you know, guests during the Olympics. And I thought, well, we have a homelessness problem in our city. So what if people opened their homes to visitors from around the world, but donated half the proceeds to charities that go to benefit the homeless? And it was really amazing to see that hundreds of people signed up. Instead of just trying to get rich themselves, they made a bit of money, but they are also able to make new friends from around the world and donate money to these charities. It really changed my viewpoint on on the human condition. I think so many people are more kind than we think.
If you could conduct an experiment in Perth, if I could give you lots of money and you could go out and do that now, what would you be interested in doing here?
I want to see how comfortable people are walking across the street here. You seem to be such friendly, kind, wonderful people. But when I try and cross the street here, nobody stops. When a little old lady tried to cross the street this morning, I was watching. Nobody stops. To me, this is an outrage. And I want to see, do people behave differently when streets are designed differently? If you have slower streets, you know, narrower traffic widths, for example, will people be kinder to strangers?
Charles Montgomery with us on Drive this afternoon, author of an award-winning book called Happy City, Transforming Our Lives Through Urban Design. He's in Perth for the first time and sharing some of his, I guess, perspectives on what he is seeing. Again, that's another insight from that car-dominant nature that you feel as though we have. Which is interesting because a lot of people listening to you now will be in their car driving home.
So, have a good drive.
So if we can't influence the way that our roads are designed necessarily as individuals, what could we do differently ourselves to maybe try and show this friendly side of ourselves and be happier while still in our cars?
I understand you have a problem with merging here in the city.
Oh, massive. Yeah, nobody can merge.
It's the birth controversy.
It is.
So, people, this is how merging works. It, one at a time, everybody takes a turn, and you may lose 10 seconds on the way home. I actually think, you know, it's worth considering, you know, how much our time is worth and how much a human life is worth. You have these initiatives to, for example, slow streets down in some neighborhoods, and there's massive resistance. My feeling is, if you really are, you know, what's the problem taking an extra 25 seconds getting to your front door if slowing down makes your neighborhood safer for your children? I mean, isn't that a small sacrifice to make?
It is indeed. It's been so lovely to meet you and hear what I think people will find really interesting this afternoon. Thank you for coming to Perth for the first time, and I hope it won't be too long before we see you back.
Thank you so much for having me.